All right. Got to tidy my best Coach Sheps here tonight. Welcome to Toilets to Titles, episode 60, breaking down the NFL schedule and a little bit of offseason dynasty buys and sells for us. Tonight we got a little bit of a different cast. Justin's not feeling too well. Coach is enjoying himself in the Smoky Mountains on vacation. So I'm Nate Wallen. You can find me on Twitter at Nate_Dirt19. I got my buddy Ben hanging out with us. Nice day and at live from the Ben. How's things going today, Ben?
Yeah, good, mate. Good. Yourself?
Well, it's nighttime. It's it's Friday night. The week's over, so it's been a good long week. So, and then one of our other new members, Mike at Dirty Jobs 21. How are we doing tonight, Mike?
I'm doing fantastic, man. I'm glad to finally be getting on some shows around here, getting on the Toilets to Titles brand, loving every minute of it so far, and I just can't wait to be more involved and get some stuff going, get the season going. I'm pumped.
Yeah, it's been fun. Like I said, it's been a fun couple months getting everybody together like we have, and I know it's been kind of tough to get all of us on at once, but you know, it's like I said, nights like these, it works out that we have such a, you know, big group that we can all make it work real well. So a couple things going to get through real quick. Like I said, if you're listening to us now on YouTube, you can also listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Spotify, I think pretty much any major platform. We also have a Facebook account, and When a Family Breaks is Coach Sheps. He's kind of wheeling and dealing sports memorabilia on there. A lot of cool stuff to check out. You can find the show on Twitter at Toilets to Titles. Like I said, I listed off our handles earlier, and they're underneath there. Something else we just started, I believe, within the last week. You guys probably know that. We started a Patreon, patreon.com/Toilets to Titles. Pretty easy to search for us there, too. It's got three different tiers. They're all pretty cool. The more, like I said, the higher tiers, you get a little more in-depth analysis and stuff like that with the crew. You know, check it out. Let us know what you think. Like I said, we're really excited about it. Definitely some Frankenstein entries, I believe, for a couple of the top tiers. Ben and I weren't together last year. It was a lot of fun. And I think right now we're having three leagues next year, Ben, this fall. He's muted.
Nope. Ben's muted.
Did you see?
Sorry, guys.
Ben, sorry, you're
there. You go.
Apologies. It's going to be one. I think it's going to be one league with multiple copies. We're still hashing out the exact details.
Yeah, that's what I mean, sorry.
But
yeah. Like I said, I don't know. The intention is to have four copies. So.
Yeah. The intention is to have at least 36 teams. So yeah, that should be really exciting.
Be a lot of fun. So. We also had an episode, I'm not sure what number it was, like so we talked about Frankenstein quite a bit because it's a lot different than any other league I've ever been in. So it was a lot of fun. And then one last quick thing, sorry. Tonight's episode is brought to you by Primetime Sports Talk, your top source for all major sports content, including DFS, fantasy advice, and great gambling tips. Be sure to head to primetimesportstalk.com to check out their in-depth analysis, exclusive articles, fascinating interviews, and explore the rest of their amazing podcast family. Again, PrimetimeSportsTalk.com, your go-to spot for sports content. I think that gets through everything, right, boys?
So all the fluff, anyways.
Fun stuff. Yeah.
That's all it. The fun stuff.
So, like we said at the beginning, we're going to kind of break down the schedule. I'm not going to go through every game because that would just take forever, but I figured we could hit the primetime games, kind of, I mean, just say what they are. We don't need to go through them if we don't want to. And then on my phone, because it's in like nighttime mode, it's hard to see the colors. So if you did highlight some games, some of them are hard to see, but some of them aren't. But looks like I said, we'll just go through it. So week one, which is coming up faster than I can remember. It seems like it's hadn't been that long. But Thursday night football, Cowboys at Tampa Bay, which everybody's already all over. Sunday night football is the Bears at the Rams. Monday night football is the Ravens at the Raiders. Some other notable games. I know I'm looking forward to the Colts and the Seahawks. And the Bills and the Steelers, more so because I just want to watch Josh Allen. But Colts and Seahawks, I'm kind of wondering what's going to happen with Russ. You know, it's kind of the same situation for Rodgers, but, you know, it's hard to mend that kind of what all happens and stuff. So I'm curious to see how it goes and then also how Carson Wentz does in his new home. So what about you guys? Are you looking forward to a couple of them?
You had me at Josh Allen. I mean, if you know anything about me at all, it's that I'm the biggest and the first Josh Allen fan ever. I watched him in Wyoming for 4 years and followed him all the way to Buffalo. I just love the guy. I love his energy. I can't wait to see what he's got. His football IQ is off the charts. I know a lot of people out there, hint, hint, my Aussie friend from the on the left of me right here is saying regression is due. But I think we'll see a nice, fresh Josh Allen coming out there and being a solid player, although it would be hard to match those numbers. So I could see where regression could actually happen because he had a phenomenal season last year.
He was fire last year, and I was playing around a bit. I think he's still going to be up there. He's just going to have more rhythm with Diggs. And who's that wide receiver they got in the fourth or fifth round last year? Is it Gabriel Davis?
Gabriel Davis.
Yeah, Gabriel Davis. Yeah,
yeah. Awesome, I really like him. And you know, you keep hearing that they're the favorites for Zach Ertz potentially after June 1st, if Philadelphia trade him. So
I just don't know. You know, they just signed Jacob Hollister in the offseason. And I mean, I know, like I watched, I'd say at least 30 Jacob Hollister from Josh Allen touchdowns while they were at Wyoming together. I don't know if they're going to need a market for that, because I'm telling you, those two have had a connection for a long time and they'll link up again. I feel anyways, like, I mean, because I've just seen those two and how they play together. So I don't know if they're going to really be in the market for a tight end. Although Zach Ertz would be a beast ad. That would be huge. You can't argue with that. He's better than Jacob Hollister.
I didn't know they played together.
Yeah. Yep. They played together in Wyoming. Yeah. Okay. And then also they had Brian Hill from Atlanta Falcons. He was their running back. Yep. I thought we had a locked up Nate down there. So the next game there, the Seahawks and Colts, what about you? Do you think that's going to be a pretty good game?
Look, Seahawks at Colts. I'm very interested to see the Colts this season and how Carson Wentz looks in that offense. I'm a bit worried that they didn't go and get him like another good receiving option. They're really, really high on Michael Pittman. I'm not sure.
They still have T.Y. Hilton too.
I mean, he looked like he was getting Thanos last year. You know, just turning into dust. Maybe he'll bounce back and have a little resurgent. But I mean, he's a speed receiver and he's getting on, right?
Yeah, and he's just not going to be able to outrun these younger quarterbacks. I don't think. The last time I said this about T.Y. Hilton, he embarrassed me and was just phenomenal. So we'll see. We got Rich on the line saying, he says, look at that swagger. I'm like, hell yeah, looking tight. Looking tight, boys. Welcome back, Nate.
Checking my Wi-Fi for some reason because I thought it was running funny, and then I looked at it and then it was X'd out. I'm like, oh cool. And now we're back. So sorry about that.
I was like, you were sitting there and I was like, man, he is listening intently to what we are talking about. Like, he hasn't even moved an inch. Like, he's on this. I'm like, oh, I think he's froze up.
So my bad.
Yeah, no worries. We kind of talked about the Seahawks and Colts, if you got anything to add to that.
Not really. I just, like I said, I was, you know, the Colts were a ton of fun last year to watch. Obviously, Jonathan Taylor. And then I'm excited for Wentz. Back with Frank Reich more so than anything. I really want to see if that is really what their deal was. You know, granted, the Eagles organization's just a joke anyways. So, I mean, it's kind of hard, but I can see that being one of the reasons. So, like I said, I'm pretty excited about that whole deal. And, I mean, it's going to be fun. Obviously, it's week one, so maybe that's the reason I'm so excited about it, though.
There you go. That's a good reason to be excited.
I've been working on an article now about some buys and stuff. And I was going to talk about Michael Pittman and Paris Campbell both, because I'm kind of looking – I want to see what – you know, Campbell was injured last year. So kind of looking for him to, you know, maybe figure something out a little bit. So,
And that offensive line, if Eric Fisher gets healthy, has got the potential to be really, really, really good.
Yeah.
And it was phenomenal last year. So
it was, but they lost Costanzo, so –
yeah, you know, huge.
Well, the other game that was on there week was the Browns at the Chiefs. That's one that I'm pretty excited about right there, just because I feel like the Browns have had quite a resurgence in that organization, and I feel like they're going to come out the gate hitting hard, and they're going to be. I think they can actually shut down the Chiefs as long as the Chiefs don't. If they come out with the same style of game plan and everything like that, I think the Browns are going to be a pretty devastating force next year in the NFL. I don't know if that's a hot take or not. I feel like a lot of people see it trending that direction with the defense doing what it's doing and everything like that. But what do you guys think? Do you think Baker Mayfield can bring it next year?
I think Baker's going to take a big step forward. He looked really comfortable in that offense in the last half of the season. And I think you're going to see stats more in line than what he put up in that second half of his rookie season. I think the yards are going to be there more than last year. They're still going to be a run-first team, obviously with Chubb and Hunt. But they've got great receiving options as well. I think Beckham bounces back. I don't think he'll ever be what he was in New York, but he makes that team more dangerous. Landry, I'm really excited for that tight end they got in the third round, Harrison Bryant. I think he's better than Hooper. I'm not going to sit here and say he's going to break out and be a tight end one, because they've got a lot of depth there with him, Hooper, and David Njoku. But I'm really excited to see Baker take a big step forward.
Excellent, excellent.
Yeah, I'm just excited. Like I said, Kevin Stefanski was phenomenal last year, and I think that was big help to Baker. Like I said, nothing against Baker. I think he, does everything right and can run that offense well enough to put up good numbers and look good. And I obviously have said it a dozen times, if not more, how I think Nick Chubb probably could be the RB1 this year. Like, overall, he's my favorite. I love him. I mean, anywhere I can get him, I got him. I'm pumped for that offense. I'm also pumped because that's another little teaser for a game, one article I'm working on. I think Super Bowl losers are like 3-16 against the spread in week one, like over the last, 19 years or something. So I think it's 5.5 or 6. So I think it'll be a good game for sure.
Absolutely.
You got any more for week one, Ben?
Well, I'm actually excited for Dolphins-Patriots because I think in that game the Dolphins are going to struggle. And then people are going to be down on Tua, and then I can buy Tua low everywhere. Everywhere. Tua is going to break out, mate. 2021. It's coming. It's happening. Don't look at me like that. Don't shake your head. All right?
Hey, I want it to happen, and I'm sure people don't like when you talk bad about the guy. I don't see it, so.
Oh, I think you're in the majority. I'm actually with you, Ben. I think we see Tua. I'm not sure we see a breakout season out of him this year. I feel like you can actually maybe steal him on the cheap for one more year. I don't think it's going to develop and come together in the 2021 season, but I definitely foresee it 2022 and beyond. I think that team's going to be a beast in the East. They're going to be really tough to keep up and keep going, and especially like the only competition they're going to have is the Bills. As long as the Patriots don't come out of nowhere and still be competitive with Bill Belichick, that's always possible too. But I think the Dolphins can be a force. I just don't know if it's this year for Tua yet.
That's fair enough.
Ball downfield.
He will throw the ball downfield. Like, he's got Will Fuller. He's got Jalen Waddle.
He didn't have Will Fuller for like 6 games.
Hmm. Well, he didn't have him. The Dolphins didn't have him for any games last year.
When you sign Will Fuller on a contract, you only get about 3 games out of him, anyways. That's part of the deal. Like,
3 big games.
Huge games. I mean, yeah, he'll get you 12 touchdowns.
He didn't get hurt last year. He only got suspended.
Right.
Wow, there's a reason he didn't get hurt.
Right.
That's what those are for.
Exactly.
Wow. I'm high on Tua for this year. He came out. He said his confidence wasn't where it was. He didn't have an off season coming off the hip injury. I think you're going to see the guy at Alabama who, when people talked about him as a prospect, talked about him just like people talk about Trevor Lawrence.
Are you talking about Mac Jones coming out of Alabama? You mean?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm sorry, okay. Ben. I'm giving you a hard time.
too slow, Mac Jones.
He's throwing darts in practice, they're saying. Looking good.
Everybody looks great in practice.
Oh, yeah. Spring, hey, OTAs, everybody looks like they, you know, everybody's better than they've ever looked.
I'm waiting for the coach to come out there and say, you know what? This team looks like trash. This isn't going to be a good season. Everybody on this team is playing way under performance.
Going to be a tough year. Yeah. So we'll move on. Week two, Thursday Night Football, Giants, Washington Football Team. Sunday night, Chiefs, Ravens. Monday night, Lions, Packers. Like I said, I didn't really mark anything here that really stood out. I'm sure we could talk at nauseam about them.
The Orlando Brown revenge game. Is it a revenge game if you want to get traded, though, and they trade you? It's not, is it?
I don't think that makes it a revenge.
No.
although it could, because they're probably wanting to get traded, so they're going to come in there with the same kind of an attitude, right? Like, I'll show you why you should have negotiated with me type thing. So, yeah, I can see it.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious to see how the Chiefs do starting out. I think they kind of have a whole new offensive line. I think they may, I say they may struggle, but they won't. I mean, Nate, we'll see.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes figures it out.
Yeah.
One thing that I think is funny about these show notes is that, like, on week one, you can just tell we're all excited about football. And then, like, week two and on, there's only, like, one highlighted game. It's like, oh, kind of about this one. Like,
yeah. Well, because, like I said, there's all the good other bunch of stuff I want to talk about, the buys and sells, so I don't want to get hung up on speaking about every week, you know?
That's it. Absolutely agree with that.
Yeah, agree with that.
Like I said, week three, Panthers-Texans Thursday night, Sunday night football, Packers-Niners, which who knows what we're going to see. Monday night football, Eagles-Cowboys. There was, like I said, a couple games, obviously Chargers at Chiefs. You know, Hair Bear, Herbert, and Mahomes. Like I said, that's going to be fun for a long time. So just kind of looking forward to seeing how the Chargers look. Minus Anthony Lynn, I think that's going to be a big help to them. And then also, the Washington football team at the Bills, just because I kind of am a closet Bills fan, I think, but I also like Fitzmagic way too much, so it's going to be fun to watch, watch those guys battle. So
I mean, are we sure that Justin Herbert's going to be better than he was last year? I mean, he had the best rookie quarterback season of all time. They lost Pep Hamilton, his quarterback coach, who he talked up, you know, extremely to the moon. We could see him take a step back before he takes another step forward.
I don't necessarily think, like I said, he's going to have the same numbers or be, you know, better. I think he played very well last year, and I just think they would have won more games if it wasn't for Anthony Lynn. It's more so what I meant. Like I said, if Herbert's the same or close to the same, you know, I think would they win 7 or 8 games last year? I don't remember.
Yeah.
You know, they probably win 3 more maybe. At least that, like, it just seemed like poor clock management, and just things that I'm not a pro head coach, but you know what I mean. I just think it would be better off for him.
I'm excited to see what the new head coach does with that defense after what he did with the Rams defense.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I'm kind of on board with you there as far as the Chargers. Sorry about that, Ben.
No.
I feel like Herbert does actually. I mean, like, I feel like losing Hunter Henry was a big deal for them. I feel like Austin Eckler is a guy that I'm just kind of like lukewarm about, right? Like I like Austin Eckler a lot. He's an amazing running back, but I just don't feel like he's going to be able to get that like 3-down opportunity every single game. I think they're going to have to spread that ball out quite a bit. And I'm not really a big Justin Jackson guy. I'm not really a big Josh Kelly guy, and I don't really think they addressed anything in that backfield. So I feel like that team's going to actually have some serious struggles. I mean, you're going to be able to huck it to Keenan Allen only so much, but the rest of that team doesn't have like it seems like they have developmental weapons as opposed to solidified weapons, especially, like I said, losing Hunter Henry to me, that was a big deal for them as far as that team goes. Their defense is pretty solid, but the offensive side of the ball, I feel like they need a few more weapons in that department.
Yeah, I agree. Like I said, I'm not real big on Eckler. Some people I see, they got him top five. I know I'm crazy to say Nick Chubb can be the RB1, but Eckler's not top five for me, not even close. So,
right. Right. So, yeah, top 10 in the conversation, but top five, definitely not.
No way he's top five. You touched on the Packers 49ers game. two questions. Do you think Aaron Rodgers is going to be the quarterback for the Packers?
Yeah.
And do you think, who do you think is going to be the starting quarterback for the 49ers?
Week three, I think Garoppolo is still there. I said, I like Trey Lance a lot. I know Coach is going to be mad when he hears me say it, but I don't know if he's, I think he's kind of a year away. I really do. So, and I've drafted a lot of Trey Lance, but I think that Garoppolo is going to be there for the year, and I think it'll be better off for Trey Lance.
See, I can't see them sitting him the whole year when he only played one game last year, because you've invested that third overall pick in him, and then if he sits all season, then by the time he plays for you in 2022, he's played one game in 3 years.
Yeah.
And I think that's crazy.
I kind of forget about that he didn't play last year.
Yeah, and I've seen them, you know, I've seen him put a rookie Nick Mullins into the game, right, and get something out of Nick Mullins. So I feel very confident that
the coach Kyle Shanahan
can get what he wants out of Trey Lance.
It'll be dependent on performance. I don't think it'll be that soon either. I don't think it'll be by week three, but I think we can see by probably, especially if they're on a losing record, by like week 10, 11, somewhere in there, we probably start seeing some chance for Trey Lance coming out there. I don't really see a lot coming out of San Francisco in the next few years. I don't really like how that team's been developing either, and I really like that coaching system a lot. And they can really surprise you. They can get into the Super Bowl just as quick as that defense is solid on San Francisco when they're all healthy. That thing's tough to get by. But, I mean, the offense is, again, I mean, it's one of those lackluster. Like, Mo starts a good start, but outside of him, I don't really like anybody else on that team. Kittle, I guess, of course, you know. If you're lucky enough to have a Kittle.
I love Ayuk.
You don't like Ayuk and Debo?
I do.
I like them. It just doesn't seem like they have that consistency level that I'm looking for in a wide receiver. Like daily, I love to like play those guys in daily when they have a decent matchup and things like that. But like season long fantasy, I just don't see the value in those guys that everybody else seems to see in them. Like Debo Samuels will get you a huge game, right? But he'll take 3-4 weeks off. And Ayuk, I mean, we haven't really seen much out of him. But boy, what we've seen, we like. But it just doesn't seem like they find that guy on that offense yet. Where they're just not comfortable in the scenarios that they're putting themselves in and getting the guys that they need to be getting the ball.
I think with Ayuk and Debo, I think you look at their numbers at the end of the year and their numbers will look all right. But knowing who to start week to week in that offense outside of Kittle is going to be tough.
Yeah, it's a nightmare. Yeah,
Trey Sermon now.
Yeah.
And did they draft Elijah Mitchell?
They did. In the sixth round.
I don't know. I heard it was on something on a podcast this week, whatever. But after this year, basically every running back there, like, because there's like seven of them, you know, they're all gone besides Sermon and Mitchell. So I think a lot of people seem to be scooping them up because of that, because it's like the contract situation. I think a lot of the wide receiver issues is probably from Jimmy Garoppolo because, you know, he can throw the ball, whatever, you know, he's pretty pedestrian, can kind of, you know, this and that, dink and dunk. But I think once a guy that, you know, a little more firepower, I think will help them immensely.
Absolutely.
You know, even though Shanahan runs the ball a lot, which, you know, they can still produce with it. But so we'll move on. Like, so week four, I'm not stop going through every single primetime game. I mean, it's just going to take too long. And, you know,
yeah, we'll just pick the highlighted ones, right?
Yeah. So, obviously, week four, everybody's been talking about it. Bucks, Patriots, going to be a blast. You know, Tom's going home. You know, Tommy Foxborough gets to return home. We'll see how things go. I think the Bucks will really be heating up, you know, week four. You know, I think that obviously they're going to be playing well anyways, but I think, you know, they're going to be getting hot week four. I don't see the Patriots coming even close to making this a football game.
I think the Bucs are going to be really tough to beat next year, man. I'm not a Bucs fan. I am from Tampa Bay, but like, oh my goodness sakes, that defense is just disgusting. And you just
brought every starter back.
And who did they lose? They didn't lose anybody this year. They kept everybody that they wanted to keep, and they're in the same exact shape they were in last year with another year under their belt. And that guy named Tom Brady is your quarterback. Like, there's a lot of things that aren't good for everybody else who isn't Tampa Bay next year.
That's true. And I hate saying this because it seemingly never happens, but the quarterbacks, when they get older, they do drop off a cliff suddenly. I mean, Manning looked good for the first few weeks of a season, you know, and then his arm just went. It's gone.
Yeah, that was sad. That was very sad.
Yeah, Roethlisberger last year through the first 10, 11 weeks, and then it was just off a cliff.
Yeah.
And, you know, Brady's had periods of time where it's looked like that's happened, and then he seemingly bounced back from it. But, yeah, it's hard not to back him after. If anything, they're better than last season, right?
Right. On paper. Right. They even improved.
And I remember I heard, like, I don't know, it was either right – it was sometime before the Super Bowl, I think, and Clyde Christensen, I was listening to him on a podcast, and he said that, you know, he's like, I wish we had 8 more weeks. You know, we're just now starting to figure things out, you know, and they were obviously clicking, you know, Super Bowl, NFC Championship, you know, they look great. Defense is awesome. And, you know, he's talking about how the offense needed 8 more weeks than they much that much better, you know. So everybody's back. You know, I think they're going to be good. I mean, it's going to be – it'll be a good Week 4 matchup, I think.
Who do we think starting for the Patriots come week four, Newton or Mac Jones?
Cam.
I think Cam, I agree. Yeah, still. Yeah. Belichick likes to take his time.
Are you buying any of the players in that offense?
Yeah.
On the Cam. Patriots?
Oh, yeah. Cam, Jonnu, Hunter Henry. That's about it, though, I guess.
I was going to say the tight ends, Henry and Jonnu, I like, but that's about it.
Damien Harris, if you can get him super cheap, maybe.
I like Harris a lot. You don't think Jacoby Myers can be a thing?
It's like there's so many random the wide receivers that are pretty like, you know, there's so many of them, and it's like, well, which one do I pick? It's kind of like you said with San Fran sometimes, like, well, who is it this week? You know, so, and I think it was like that last year anyways. Like I said, I'd like to see Jacoby Myers, and then who's their big wide receiver they signed? Nelson Aguilar? Or is he still on the – is he still on the Raiders? I don't remember. I should know this.
No, Nelson Aguilar's on the Patriots.
That's like the big guy they signed, you know, like.
Right.
Jacoby Myers didn't get his second target until October. And, I mean, he ended the season with about 750 yards. I'm wondering if the Patriots, do you think they've given up all hope for N'Keal Harry? Do you think he's dead?
No, I was just going to say his name. I they got to try. I mean, you know, I don't think they could just be like, well, hey, it was fun.
I want to see him do good. I like N'Keal Harry coming out of the combine and everything. I thought he was going to do big things, and he just really has let me down. But it would be nice to see him get some damage done next year.
I agree. I
tread well all over again.
Yeah. It just seems like those, you know, contested catch wide receivers are almost a dying breed in the NFL.
Right.
Yeah. I don't really have much highlighted week 5. Actually, that's when the games over in England start. Jets, Falcons, real barn burner over there. You guys got anything for week 5 or you want to move on?
We can move on. There's the Colts Ravens. That'll be a good game right there, but we basically went off on both those teams.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, that'll be a fun one, but yeah, we on them. Week 6. I did highlight the Packers and the Bears just because it's always fun to watch, and I'm curious to see who will the Red Rifle be under center, or you guys think Fields is in there by then, or starts out the whole season?
I think Fields is in there by then for sure.
Yeah, by week 6, yeah, Andy Dalton will find a way to get hurt by then.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I think the Bears are going to be pretty garbage again. But anyways.
Yeah, me too.
Like I said, week 7, nothing much more. I mean, like I said, we could talk ad nauseum about it. Week 9, there was one I did see that I really liked. It was Buffalo at Jacksonville. I'm just excited to go see the Bills just stomp all over the Jags.
Right.
they're gonna beat the brakes off of them, I think. I think Jaguars are gonna struggle. I know they got their savior, and I'm not getting into it.
I might have to try to go make that game. That might be worth the trip right there. That's only a 3-hour drive for me. So
I think Jacksonville and Buffalo, Lawrence and Josh Allen. I think Lawrence and Josh Allen are going to be fun to watch for the next 10 years. I think that's going to be a really good competition.
That's why I highlighted the game. That's kind of like, this is the first one, and it's going to be, you know, they'll be battling for a long time. And I said it's going to be fun. That's for sure.
We kind of had a lull because all these quarterback classes weren't working out, and now it seems like some of these young quarterbacks are really starting to take flight, and position's going to be really strong again soon.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah,
you know, it's a lot more fun, I think, with all the new, like I said, just different styles of offense, stuff like that. And I think it seems too that some of the, you know, offense coordinators, head coaches are kind of like figuring it out, you know, that what these guys do is not necessarily what they did before, you know, with whoever they had before that. But you guys got anything for, I don't know, like I said, we kind of breezed through 10, 11, 12. I mean, like I said, there's plenty we could talk about, but I thought there was one or two I really liked, but if you guys got any, let me know.
Oh, I see the Colts highlighted. Colts at the Bills ought to be a good one. Week 11. Yep. That ought to be a damn good game right there. We ought to be able to see exactly two teams that I imagine are vying for the playoffs at this point in time. Probably not having to fight too hard, respectively, in their divisions. I think they'll both be leading pretty good, but we'll probably be looking at more of the home field advantage type momentum in this game right here. So I'm pretty excited to see that one. That one's going to be a good game.
And then next week, in week 12, you get Raiders-Cowboys, two teams vying for the 101.
Right.
we got to take shots when they're not here, right?
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, man. Hey, yeah, that's like Thanksgiving there. Said the one I did see that I was looking forward to, and there's obviously three games on Thanksgiving like there always is, but Rams at Packers. Excited to see Matt Stafford back. Rich, not funny. That's good, Rich. But I'm excited to see Stafford with a, you know, a team that doesn't stink. Not necessarily coming back to Lambeau, but it'll be fun. I'm looking forward to watching the Rams this year.
I think he's going to ball out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's going to be good. Week 13, or actually, yeah, there is week 13. That Chargers-Bengals will be fun with Burrow and Herbert. Because they didn't play last year, I don't think. I don't think so.
Nope.
I could be wrong, but.
Not versus each other.
If Burrow's still upright by week 13, it'll be fun. So,
right.
not because of him, just because they don't address the offensive line. He's going to get killed. So, there's not much more I got. If you guys, Christmas Day, Browns, Packers, that'll be fun because, you know, like we've been talking about the Browns a little bit, I think that'll be a good game for sure.
It'll be nice to get some Christmas football too. That's kind of a rare treat. It's been a while since we've had some Christmas football.
Yeah, two games too.
Yeah, double header even.
Browns, Packers, Colts, Cardinals. Like I said, those both should be fun games. But, you know, like I said, 17 weeks. It'll be fun. It's going to be kind of weird. I'm curious to see what everybody does for fantasy playoffs and stuff like that. So we've been kind of kicking around in a lot of my leagues, just different ideas, and I'm curious to see what sticks.
Most teams seem to just be adding the regular season game and making the playoffs weeks 15, 16, 17, from what I've seen.
I think the last one we made a decision in was just keep it like it is because who knows what week 17 is going to be. You know what I mean? That's it. So it's almost like I've never been a fan of, like I said, we're usually done by – I just forgot. I can't even think right now. But you know what I mean? Like I said, and not extending it out. But
yeah, I don't like what it's going to do for the record books and what it's going to do for the passing. Like we're probably going to see a 6,000-yard passing season, right, with 17-game schedule. At some point that could happen.
Yeah. Hey, Rich, put that on the bathroom board. Both of those.
The Raiders will make the playoffs and win the wild card game. Hold on. Is Derek Carr still their quarterback?
In this scenario, Rich, have they traded for Aaron Rodgers?
Right. No. See, now I was going to say, if Derek Carr is still their quarterback, that will never happen. They will never be a winning team because Derek Carr has the football IQ of, call it a pit bull or a English bulldog, maybe something of that level. Like, he just can't think for himself.
I think Johnny Manziel would be a good fit in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I think he would be too. Johnny Manziel.
Party all night, play football all day.
There you go. Awesome. The gambler.
I think Derek Carr's got the football IQ of David Carr.
Right.
So we got some strength of schedule stuff. I'm not going to go obviously through every team. There was one thing that I laughed about. Well, thank you, Rich. We're sorry. I think this is the first time he's ever.
Rich says, "I'm out. I'm out. I'm done."
Look at it. Said the NFL strength of schedule by team that's on here. That the Bears. Have number three schedule. Usually it's kind of like if you stink, your schedule's not that hard. So that'll be right. Really struggle. And actually, 3, 4, 5, and 6 are actually all NFC North teams. So I don't know. I guess they're going to beat up on each other, but it's not like it's that good of a division. But right. Anyways,
for the nothing Packers. Really.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see with the Vikings how they are. But do you guys want to go over the strength by position, or are you not real worried about it? So we can move on if you want to do buys and sells, or we can go through it. I don't care.
Let's just gloss over it quickly.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, for sure. Quickly. Strength schedule by position, as according to Fantasy Pros, CBS, and I assume that's Sports Illustrated. I don't know, I didn't write it up. For quarterbacks, the top five, Niners, Broncos, Patriots, Dolphins, Jaguars, and Colts. That's top six, but...
Map checks out.
Yeah, it checks out. Bottom five: Seahawks, Lions, Bills, Packers, Bengals. Do you guys think that the Lions are in there just because Jared Goff stinks, or is it actually they're playing tough teams?
Because they're playing tough teams. Isn't that how it all works?
I know. I'm just joking.
I don't know. I'm curious how strength this schedule holds up over the course of the season. If once the season's over, if you go back and look at it, how predictive was it? Was it really,
relative? I think it's more of a miss than a hit in my experience, because I look at that stuff. And if you watch, like the one thing, the indicator that I always use to watch that is when you're doing your versus, right? And it's a versus a red team, versus a red team. Pretty soon, a couple of weeks, now you're versus a yellow team. And then by the end of the season, it's versus a green team. And that team wasn't as tough as everybody thought it was going to be. And the strength schedule wasn't, you got to see like the Lions twice. Like, well, the Lions are supposed to be tough. Well, they're not, and so they go out and they don't do well and everything like that. So I think it's kind of subjective, the whole strength of schedule thing.
Well, I tend to agree. And in a game like football where so many injuries happen, that could change it so much. Sorry, Nate. Yeah.
Well, no, I say one thing that when I look, like I said, the, bottom five, like with the Lions and Packers, and then with the whole strength schedule. But like, the secondary, there are some pretty good secondaries in the NFC North, watching it week in, week out. And I think, obviously that is the, big thing for quarterbacks. But I, like I said, I've never really done much strength of schedule wise, just because, like I said, it's so hard to follow it all, it changes all the time, or it doesn't change all the time. But like you said, people get hurt, and we don't know how these teams are going to be.
When I build my dynasty rosters, I'm never selling a player I like because of strength of schedule,
right?
Because he's got a bad schedule or tough matchups or anything like that. Like me personally, I don't know if you guys do.
I did once, and it was one time I dropped a quarterback because he had the Chargers, the Broncos, and I think it was – gosh, I can't remember what the third team was. But anyways, I'm like, there's no way he's gonna do good. So I dropped Patrick Mahomes, and in my 15th round keeper, because of strength of schedule. I promise you I will never do this again.
Well, do you know what wide receivers had the worst strength of schedule last year, as in the toughest matchups?
Who's that?
It was the Buffalo Bills.
Ah. Yeah, they did okay, didn't they?
Just I think Diggs,
all right.
Diggs went all right. I think Josh Allen coped.
Oh, Cole Beasley did great. I had him in a couple of weeks, and he did real well.
Dude, I love exactly. Cole Beasley.
Yeah, and I love the Bills. So I'm looking forward to that whole receiving core. I think, you know, John Brown, it was fun, but you know, having Gabriel Davis, they got a couple other guys that I really like that I don't think it'll ever work for them, but I'm excited that they're there. You know, like I said, I love Isaiah McKenzie. And
yeah, I was going to say Isaiah McKenzie. I'm an Isaiah McKenzie.
I was huge on Isaiah Hodgins coming out of Oregon State. So hopefully he figures it out. But I don't know. He's super tall. I mean, that's got to help, right? Pretty quick for 6'4".
Right.
6'5".
Absolutely.
Running backs, top five. Steelers, Broncos, Browns, Chargers, Colts. Looks pretty good for Nick Chubb, RB1. Just saying.
is that in full point PPR or half point PPR? Are you saying that he's RB1?
Full? That, I didn't care. Both. He's the man. Doesn't matter.
Fair enough. Looking at you.
And that also bodes well for, well, maybe Najee Harris and Javonte Williams. Jonathan Taylor was with the Colts there too. So if that offensive line is, like I said, if they can fill in Costanzo's hole.
Costanza.
I think about George. The bottom five, Giants, Raiders, Bucks, Packers, Lions. Josh Jacobs still the man, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know. With Kenny good Drake's old Kenny Drake showing up, stealing the thunder.
No. I'm not even worried about Drake. I think Jacobs is going to have his best year.
Nah, I can see that.
I love the way he runs. And yeah. I think he's going to be fire.
I hope so.
I agree. I've never been a Kenyon Drake guy, so I just kind of thought he was a joke. So
same here. He sucks the fantasy value out of everything around him, though. Yeah. That's the one thing I don't like about Kenyon Drake.
Yeah. Wide receivers. Top five, Panthers, Jaguars, 49ers, Rams, and Saints. So, Rich. That's good. I think that'll be good for, like I said, Sam Darnold's going to be fun with the Panthers, you know, and Jaguars. Rams, obviously, we're looking forward for Stafford. Saints, Jameis Winston, if we'll see how he does. I that's who I think starting, by the way. If you guys.
Yeah, no, great. I think you're right.
Yeah.
Bottom five, Seahawks, Cowboys, Raiders, Browns, Lions. So, yeah, like I said, I'll just look back at this when we get, you know, farther along and see how close things are.
I think the Browns can pull the Bills next year. I think the Browns have a lot of talent on that wide receiving core, and I think they're going to get some stuff done next year.
I agree. I heard you guys talking about DJ earlier, not to go way back, but I think, like you said, not going to be as good as New York, but he's good and he's going to help him out. You know, it's all there is to it. And
right.
People last year, well, they got better when he left. Like, well, that's just, you know, nothing really to it, in my opinion. But
no, they just got more comfortable in Stefanski's system.
Yeah, exactly. Moving on, tight ends, top five: Steelers, Patriots, Cowboys, Jets, Dolphins. See, there you go, Patriots. They knew. They already knew. That's why they did.
Yeah.
Bill's playing chess, man. That's what they say. Right? Bottom five, Niners, Vikings, Packers, Seahawks, and Bears. So, we'll see. I know. Tanya
Kittle,
have
Kittle ought to be able to rise above it, I think. I'm not worried about him.
Without a doubt. Yeah, he can stay healthy. No problem.
If Rodgers plays, Tanyan's probably a still solid option too. But the other teams, I couldn't even tell you who their tight ends are half the time because they change so often and they're never valuable either way.
I'm looking forward for Irv Smith now that Kyle Rudolph's gone.
Same.
I like him.
I agree.
I'm looking forward to that. And I don't know what's going to happen. I think somebody, I don't know, they drafted a tight end, I believe. And so I hope it doesn't make Irv Smith block more, because I think he's a pretty athletic kid. If I
remember right,
I could be wrong. But anyways, hopefully Irv Smith breaks out a little bit with Rudolph gone. So
well, he was tight end four in the games Rudolph didn't play.
Yeah.
In points per game. So I'm not worried about that at all.
That'd be fun. Like I said, he was a monster coming in, and I think it'll be good. So except we'll go, these guys were buying or selling. This isn't really necessarily because of strength of schedule for me, I guess. I kind of just went off some guys I was buying and selling. But Mike, you want to take lead off with your guys for a little bit?
Yeah, so the one guy I like, and I hate saying this name because this guy makes me look like a jackass 2 years in a row now. But hey, what, third time's a charm. I'm going to go ahead and lean out there and say Juju Smith-Schuster. I feel like he's going, like, anytime I see a player do what he did, you know, take less money to stay on an organization, stay with the team, I feel like that team's running game is actually going to be a little bit more solidified now, which, I mean, I was never a big Connor guy at all. I liked Bell when Bell was there, but if you listen to anything I was saying back when he was leaving, I'm like, you're going to see a big gap in this game because he was meant for that team. Well, I feel like Najee Harris can actually fit that role really, really well, get some damage done on that team, and I think anything like that really opens up the game for the rest of the team. So Juju Smith-Schuster, gosh, I always have a tough time with that. I think he's going to be a great grab. I'm out on most Dallas receivers just because I feel like it's going to be kind of like a New England Patriots scenario there, where CeeDee Lamb will have a good week, Gallup will have a good week, Cooper will have a good week, but you won't see a consistent week to week, like, good numbers out of the Dallas wide receivers. And a lot of those guys, I don't think you're going to see a lot more value than you can get right now. I know a lot of people are really, really high on CeeDee Lamb, so you can get a mint for that guy. And I just don't see it for the rest of the season. Buying all Denver wide receivers is, I mean, everybody knows I'm a Denver fan, but I mean, Tim Patrick, that guy came out of nowhere last year and he was doing really good. I feel like on the other side of Cortland Sutton, that's going to be nasty. I wish that they could get a different quarterback, but I feel like Drew Lock gets the job done enough to where they can be at least serviceable. And then I'm also fading anything New England. But just I'm holding on to a lot of that just because the expectation versus price, you're not going to get anything out of those guys anyways. So you might as well hold on to your Patriots. And again, I'd like to re-stress that that's not the tight end position. And that's my buy sell for the week.
Like I said, I'm more in on Deontay Johnson again, but he's pretty much impossible to buy, I think, at this point. I mean, not impossible, but you're going to pay a lot to get him.
Yeah, no, he's good, and I like him. I like him a lot, too, and I agree. I just don't feel like you can get him in a lot of places for starters, but I feel like you're going to see him going into that role as the one, and he's not going to be as successful because he's going to get a lot of the corner fades and safety fades that he wasn't getting last year because they were expecting it to be Juju Smith, and so I think this year when they expect him, we'll have to see what happens there, but I really do feel like Juju can feast either way.
Claypool's my favorite wide receiver there, but I just don't know if Ben's got the arm anymore to utilize a receiver like Claypool to
right.
The maximum of his abilities. And I love Juju, but man, he's burnt me the last 2 years. Like when Brown left, I still thought it was wheels up for Juju. And then he kind of bombed, and then I thought he would bounce back this year, and he did not.
Sorry, he looked better towards the tail end of the year, I thought. But yeah, he definitely didn't give me the numbers I was looking for to win last year.
I mean, he's still got the targets, but what do you average, like 8 or 9 yards of a reception? Like,
right.
It was odd. It was very odd.
Out of character. You
know, yeah, it was like Jarvis Landry, really,
kind
of numbers.
That was he had a really weird season last year, too. You're right.
So, look, I still, you know, when you see a guy who did what he did at his age, I mean, I don't care who's on the other side of the field.
Right.
So it's hard not to think that guy, you know, he's only just turned 24 or 25, right? I can't remember. He's still really young.
He's still very young.
And it's hard not to think that guy's in there somewhere. Dallas, I think you're right. The week-to-week Dallas is going to be a nightmare on who to start. But, I mean, Dak still going to throw for about 5,000 yards? I mean, he was on pace for 6,000 last year when he got hurt.
That'll all be to Blake Jarwin.
Just kidding.
The
thing with and I thought too, well, last year with Dak and that, you know, putting up all those awesome numbers, their defense was terrible. You know what I mean? So I think that had a little bit to do with, you know, just throwing all the time. I'm kind of buying Gallup if I can get him cheap. Maybe not for this coming year, but I think he's going into a contract year. So, you know, maybe he moves on somewhere else and, you know, can succeed. I guess not extension contract year, but I don't think they'll pick up his option.
If I got to pick one out of them, it's Gallup for sure. He's my favorite out of the group. You know, yeah. And he's the best, in my opinion. I think he's the most athletic.
He's good. Ben, what do you got?
Who have I as buys?
Yep.
All right. I'm buying Wentz. I believe in the talent. I know that I expressed some hesitance about his receiving core, but, you know, I'm just trying to keep an open mind. I think he's back with Frank Reich, and I really think that it's going to be wheels up for Wentz in that offense. I think Reich knows how to use him, and I think he's going to be unleashed.
So did you guys know that Carson Wentz and Josh Allen both had the same college coach? And Craig Bowles?
No idea.
No. Yeah. That both of them, yeah. Carson Wentz, after he left Carson Wentz, he went to Wyoming and coached Josh Allen. But anyway, sorry, didn't mean to interrupt you there. I just love Carson Wentz too.
I'm really excited for Wentz. I'm glad he's out of Philadelphia. And I just don't understood what they were doing around him at all. So, yeah,
I've never seen a quarterback have to make a decision every 3 seconds. Like, the guy even had a second and a half, and they're like, all what he does is scrambles. And I'm like, if he doesn't, he dies. Like, this guy has zero choice but to scramble and get it out. Now I'm really excited.
Okay. Gone from one of the worst O-lines to one of the best. I'm buying Swift, especially at the moment. I'd be trying to buy Swift because everybody seems worried about, you know, the Jamal Williams signing and then the Todd Gurley visit. That's a top like they've got Taylor Decker, they've got Frank Ragnow, and they've got Penny Sewell now. So that's three really good offensive linemen, right? Yeah. They're going to absolutely mash people, and I think Swift behind that offensive line can do some really, really special things. And I know somebody up here, I think it was it Justin? Nate, you listed Goff as a sell, and I don't know. I'm not going to go as far as say he's a buy. To me, he's probably a hold based off what you could get for him in a trade right now. He wouldn't be worth selling. I don't think people are really buying him for anything that you'd want to trade him for, super flex. I don't think you get a first. And I mean, he's going to be starting all year. I'm not going to sell him for a second. I'd rather just write it out and see what happens with him. But I've never seen him as the type of receiver who needs elite weapons, but Goff is the type of receiver who needs time behind his line. So if that line can buy him time, I think it's possible that he looks decent and takes enough pressure off Swift to really be able to perform. And they've given Goff those short options in the passing game with Swift and Jamal Williams and TJ Hockenson. Who was that wide receiver they drafted in the third? St. Brown.
Amon-Ra St. Brown. No separation. Yeah. I'm more Quintez Cephas guy for the Lions if we're going receivers.
So. There you go.
I like Swift though. Big fan.
Yeah, big fan, big fan. I don't understand the dip. There's been that dip lately. Don't get it at all.
Are you worried about Todd Gurley spoiling the party?
I mean, go ahead.
No, you go.
I was going to say with, you know, Jamal Williams and etc. Obviously, I watched him, you know, in Green Bay, and he didn't really take anything away from Aaron Jones. Not trying to say Aaron Jones and DeAndre Swift are the same guy, but, you know, Jamal Williams did his part, you know, had a good role, did well, but, you know, he's not, if he was that guy, he'd still be there, you know, so.
Yep, agree. Look, Todd Gurley, I was buying Todd Gurley last season for a first, for a late first. I thought he'd be rejuvenated on the Falcons. Fool me once. Shame on you. Fool me twice. Shame on me. It's not going to happen again.
Amen. I love it. I love it.
Nah, I think that he's done. He actually did help me win that league because he was like a solid, you know, low RB1, high RB2 for like the first 8 or 9 weeks just off volume. And so he helped me finish first in my division in that league. It's a multi-copy league. So first in the new division had like a $300 payout.
Oh, but, nice.
Yeah, but he turned to dust right. by week 10.
Like his knees.
Like his knees.
Like Greg Oden's knees.
You know, those videos that we saw in the off-season last year of him hobbling around the street should have been a clue.
All right.
Yeah. Anyway, shame on me. Shame on me. Another guy I'm buying, and I've listed mostly buys because, I don't sell guys that I really like based off, you know, strength of schedule and stuff like that, but buy Jerry Jeudy. I love the Jerry Jeudy talent. Like you, Mike, I'm a bit, you know, I'd love to see a better quarterback situation. I think Jerry, if they got Aaron Rodgers, I think it would be Jerry Jeudy to the moon because the route running, et cetera, he really kind of reminds me of Adams in that aspect. So that would be really exciting.
Yeah, if they could get Aaron Rodgers, dude, that would be whew.
Yeah, that would be great.
Celebrate good times tonight would be playing at my house.
That whole offense would go to the moon. I'll try and go quick here. Antonio Gibson, I think he's going to fully take that role. I think he's going to get most of the work that McKissick got last year. And they've got a solid offensive line now. They've got Ryan Fitzpatrick, how could that leave my brain? They got Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
he's gonna be so much fun. He's just gonna be throwing that ball, and Gibson, McLaurin. Oh man, it's gonna be sexy to watch. It is gonna be wonderful. I've got DJ Moore and Sam Darnold. It's probably a bit too late to buy Darnold. But as we saw at the top, DJ Moore, Panthers have great strength of schedule for wide receivers. I think that this is going to be his big breakout, kind of like Calvin Ridley had last year and Chris Godwin had the year before that. That's what I think that's going to happen for DJ Moore this year. And then I've got Tua and Will Fuller. We know how you feel, Nate. You got them as sells. I think obviously I think you're wrong. We got a bathroom bet about Tua. We'll see how we go. DJ Shark, I just think of what he did 2 years ago with Gardner Minshew in that offense, and now he's going to have Trevor Lawrence. You know, he's 6'3", he's got that 4.3 speed. You know, if he'd just been at LSU at a different time, if he'd been at LSU when they had Joe Burrow, his numbers would have been off the charts, and he probably would have got drafted a lot higher in the draft. And then I got Stafford, and I just think Stafford, we used to talk about Stafford when he came into the league as far as arm talent, the way people talk about Patrick Mahomes now.
Right. You know,
And
Stafford's awesome.
There's a time he was the highest paid man in football. Yeah.
He's got awesome talent, and now we're going to really see him shine. And the Bengals, I'm not massive on strength of schedule, but they've got some tough matchups to start the year, and I think that's going to allow you maybe to buy low on guys like Burrow and Chase and T. Higgins, and that's something I'd be doing for sure. Sells, I got Keenan Allen as a sell. I just think that it's going to be a real hard slog for him. He might get the targets. But unless you're a prime-time contender in Dynasty, he's something, buddy, I'd be looking to move before the value just drops out. Sell Ryan Tannehill. That offense, you know, it had, you know, nice weapons around it last year. A.J. Brown, Corey Davis, Derrick Henry, Jonnu Smith. Now it's A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry. And maybe, I think for maybe. Oh, look,
I don't even want to get into that.
If he got Julio, that'd be different. But he's been ridiculously efficient the last 2 years. He really has. And so I'm not super confident in it. But if you can get a nice return for him now, I think it's the perfect time to sell. And I'd be selling all my New York Giants.
Cool. See,
New York Giant.
I have a lot of high expectations for the Giants this year. I really like their I like the fact they have Golladay. They'll have Saquon coming back. I think that that team can actually do some damage. I like Daniel Jones. I think they're going to be – and that defense, I don't think that defense is as slouchy as a lot of people give them credit for. I think that defense has actually come together, fairly decent defense. I'm that's the one I disagreed with you on. Everything else on that whole entire list you had, I completely agree. But that last one, Daniel Jones, man, I think that's a good one to keep on.
I look, they don't have an offensive line. I don't think it's good. If Andrew Thomas can take a big step forward, that'll go a long way. You've got to, as a Giants fan, seeing those other tackles come off the board after Andrew Thomas, for all of them to outperform him has to hurt. I mean, Becton right. looks like a stud. Wirfs looks like a stud. Willis looks like a stud. And Thomas was just meh. So that one's got to hurt. I don't trust Gettleman. I don't trust that organization. Probably more than anyone else on the Giants, I would sell Saquon. Just because, like you said, Mike, that team does have a lot of weapons now.
So, Fair enough. I could see why you'd want to sell him right now too, because I mean that guy is you're gonna get him as an injury risk too. I mean, like it's probably a good feeling to get rid of Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
Like buying a boat.
Yeah.
Yeah, like buying the moment you buy a boat, you resell it, you've lost about 10 grand.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You got Saquon.
Yeah. But I'll run through mine real quick. Like I said, we're just over an hour here, so we get out of here. You talk about Antonio Gibson. I'm buying all the Washington football team guys. I'm in. I'm pumped. Like I said, they were great last year, and I think now, with the weapons they've added, Curtis Samuel, stuff like that, I think it's gonna be a lot of fun with Fitz just shucking the ball all over the place. Sam Darnold, Stafford, we've hit on it how many times. I don't want to beat a dead horse here. One thing I am different, I'm buying Michael Pittman and Paris Campbell. I think you can get them cheap. I'm pumped, just to see what happened with that offense. And I think that I think they're both going to do well. This one's weird. Buying Mark Ingram, I think he's got maybe a year left. They don't have anybody else. If you can get him super cheap, he's going to be the guy running the ball. Like I said, I'm not paying much if I can get him. It's going to be, literally like trying to get somebody to throw him in. Because he's so old, that's the problem. But like I said, I think it's worth something if you can get him super cheap. Obviously, getting rid of Goff, like I said, I think he's not good.
Just a question: would you take a second for Goff then? Because you're not going to get a first. What would you trade him for? Or would you try to get maybe a player who's looked on the same that you're high on?
Yeah, probably something like that. I don't know if I could just send him for a straight up second. Like I said, especially Superflex. I guess when I say I'm selling him, more so I'm just kind of out on him. Like you said, he'd be hard to sell. I mean, because maybe if you get if he's got a week or two, looks good, maybe a week or two, and people are like, oh, maybe it's different, because I don't think it is. That'd be about it. Obviously, I'm kind of with you on the Giants. More so, I kind of forgot they had Golladay, but I'm out on just the whole situation, I think, like I said, with it all, I don't need to go over it again. I'm obviously out on Tua and Will Fuller. We don't need to go over that. We could have a whole episode on it. My last one, I'm getting rid of Miles Sanders. I did last year in the league, and maybe even Jalen Hurts. I don't – what the hell are the Eagles doing? I don't get it. And it's – I like Jalen Hurts. It's fun. I hope he does well. I got a couple shares of him. I don't know. I'm just not sure what's going to happen. Jalen Reagor – oh, he's going to be in the slot now. Well, they don't know what the hell they're doing.
Right.
I that's why it makes you nervous. I think you can sell Jalen Hurts for quite a bit right now. And
Hurts is, agree.
I don't know if they're going to, if that's their guy. I thought they were talking about taking a quarterback this year. So who knows?
Look, them and Miami are both set up next year to take quarterbacks if Tua and Hurts don't perform this year. Because they've both got multiple draft picks.
Yeah.
Multiple first. Every team, well, my teams have multiple draft picks.
Right. Well, that's about it for me. If you guys got anything else? But I had a lot of fun.
That was fun.
Yeah, heck yeah. It's always a blast, man. I love talking football.
Oh, yeah. So real quick, yeah, like I said, you can find the show on Twitter, at Toilet Titles. You can find Ben at Live from the Ben. Mike, DirtyJobs21. Myself at Nate_Dirt19. You can find the whole crew. Like I said, I'm not going to name everybody off. At Listen Apple Podcasts, obviously Spotify, Podbean. You can follow us on YouTube like you are here. Please hit the like and subscribe button. Give us a 5-star Apple review. Send it in for your chance to get into the Frankenstink League. Like I said, check out our Patreon, patreon.com/toiletstitles. I think that's, did I hit it all? Did I get it everything?
You did, yeah, sir.
So anyways, if you guys got anything else? Nope. Good.
Nope.
Hey, keep staying positive and testing negative.
Happy Friday night.
Yep, happy Friday
weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Stay safe, everybody.
Stay safe, everyone.